catches us every once in a while. I know our brother Dwayne has prepared a message for us this morning. I ask that you would give him your careful attention. And so I give to you our brother and apostle and pastor, Dwayne Ely.
Thank you, Bob. It is good to be with you here today and to see each one of you here. This is kind of the third in a series of sermons for me. The title today is Driving Down Life's Highways, Part 3. And when I did the first one, I didn't know I'd do Part 2. And when I did Part 2, I didn't know I'd do Part 3. So I don't know if there'll be a Part 4 or not. But anyway, driving down the highway, that's something we can all relate to, isn't it? We're very familiar with that. Most of us do that every day. And there's many comparisons to driving down the highway to our spiritual lives. And we're really all driving down a spiritual highway in our lives. The first part is, are we patient drivers? I won't take a poll. I won't ask you to raise your hand whether you're a patient driver or not. Because I would probably have a hard time raising my hand. But when we're stuck in traffic, are we patient? When we're following somebody that is going the speed limit, are we patient? Are we in a hurry? Too much to do? If we're driving along and somebody's ahead of us and they turn on their right turn signal, do we patiently wait for them to turn? Or do we whip in the other lane to save a couple of seconds? I can pretty much guarantee you that the drivers in Nigeria are probably the least patient I have ever seen. Because if they were going down the freeway and the freeway plugs up, well, obviously they know there's a problem ahead, don't they? They don't sit there and wait patiently. They turn around right in the middle of the freeway and head back the other direction. So you got traffic coming right at you in your lane. Not very patient, are they? So patience in our lives. Patience is long-suffering. It is long and patient endurance of problems, offenses, or trouble with no thought of retaliation. It is being slow to anger. Patient. In Romans 12:12, we read, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. We need to be instant in prayer, don't we? About all things in our life, but patient in tribulation. We're going to have tribulations in life. We can look around our local, and over the last year, we can see many examples, can't we, of tribulations we have had in our local. Problems. All types of ailments and broken bones, as well as some that have spiritual problems. We have had tribulations. We need to be patient in these things. Let's turn over to Alma, chapter 12. This is on page 380. And we're going to read verses 216 through 218. And it came to pass that Lamoni found favor in the eyes of the king of the land. Therefore the brethren of Ammon were brought forth out of prison. And when Ammon did meet them, he was exceeding sorrowful. For behold, they were naked, and their skins were torn exceedingly, because of being bound with strong cords. And they also had suffered hunger, thirst, and all kind of afflictions. Nevertheless, they were patient in all their sufferings. These people suffered a lot, didn't they? Suffered many things. Many trials. Many hardships. They were persecuted, weren't they? But it says, nevertheless, they were patient in all their sufferings. That's what the Lord is asking us to do. To be patient in these times of trial. In Psalms chapter 27, verse 14, we read, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That's important for us. To be able to wait on the Lord. And be of good courage. When we have these trials and tribulations in our life. Because they are going to come. It's part of life. But we need to be patient through these. And God will make us stronger for it. Number two, do we pay attention when driving? Are we focusing on the road in our driving? Or sometimes are we talking? Or eating, or drinking something, or on the cell phone? Are we texting somebody? Are we brushing our teeth? Are we reading a newspaper? Are we putting on makeup? I have seen all of these things. Are we shaving? Not quite focusing, are they, on their driving? Or we can go another step. Or are we completely zoned out? Are we daydreaming? I don't know about you, but I've had that feeling where I would be driving along and all of a sudden, I don't remember anything for the last 5 or 10 miles. I wasn't focusing on my driving, was I? I was completely zoned out. Not aware of what was going on the road. So are we paying attention to our spiritual life? Are we focusing on it? Is it most important? Are we alert? Are we watchful? Are we aware of what is going on around us in our spiritual lives? Let's turn over to Luke chapter 21. We're going to read verses 34 through 36. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. We have to be careful that we don't get caught up in the cares of this life. And not focus on the things that are most important. Verse 35. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. A snare, these cares of life, the things of the world, they can be a snare. They can trap us. If we're not focusing on what is most important in life. Let's turn over to 3 Nephi, chapter 8. This is on page 651. And we're going to read verses 46 through 52. Therefore, blessed are ye if ye shall keep my commandments, which the Father hath commanded me that I should give unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye be tempted by the devil, and ye are led away captive by him. Watch and pray always. We can't take a break from that. We must be diligent, because we have to realize that we have an enemy out there. Satan is trying to tempt us. He's trying to lead us away. He's trying to capture us. And as I have prayed among you, even so shall ye pray in my church, among my people, which do repent and are baptized in my name. Behold, I am the light. I set an example for you. Christ is that light. He set the example that we're to follow. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto his disciples, he turned again unto the multitude and saith unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye enter into temptation. For Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore, ye must always pray unto the Father in my name, and whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. Pray in your families unto the Father, always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed. Watch and pray always. Satan is trying to separate us from God. Separate us from the love of God. Separate us from the will of God. Capture our souls. That is his desire. And we must always be aware of that. And always realize that we have that enemy out there. And he doesn't take a break. He's continually pursuing us. So we can't take a break either. We need to watch and pray always. A focus in our life. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Let us not sleep as do others. Many in the world are sleeping today, not aware of the dangers. We need to be awake. We need to be alert. We need to be watchful every day in our lives. Number 3, cars that are unsafe, cars that are not ready for what is ahead. The other day I was following a car and one of the wheels was wobbling back and forth. If that's not corrected, that person is going to have problems, aren't they? Could have an accident, or that wheel could fall off. Having bad brakes. I know that's pretty common in Kenya. that you'll see a big truck that has gone down a hill and it's overloaded. Steep hill, sharp curve at the end, the brakes don't work. And there it'll be, turned over off the side of the road. Very common to see trucks turned over in Kenya. Overloaded. Bad brakes. They weren't prepared for that road that was ahead. When I was in Nigeria, we were driving next to an 18-wheeler. And I looked at the inside dual. And I thought it looked strange. And I looked at it closer. And there was no tread on the tire. It had the where it came off the wheel, it came up like this, and there was nothing on top. It was just open, just an open shell. No tread. You think that vehicle was ready for what was ahead, for the load that it had to carry? It wasn't ready, was it? You know, our cars need to be kept in good working order, ready for whatever's ahead on the road. And spiritually, we need to be the same. We need to be prepared for what is ahead as we're traveling down this spiritual highway. We must be prepared for what is ahead in the road. Let's look at Alma, chapter 16, verses 228 through 230. This is on page 430. For behold, this life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. Yea, behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors. That's what this time is for. A time to prepare to meet God. A time to perform our labors. We can't waste time. We must be diligent in preparing to meet God. And now, as I said unto you before, as ye have had so many witnesses, therefore I beseech of you that ye do not procrastinate the day of your repentance until the end. Do not procrastinate. It's easy to do, isn't it? It's easy to do in our daily walk of life. But the things around the house, if we procrastinate on painting the house, it's not near as important as our spiritual well-being. Those are the things we need to put first and put our focus on those things. For after this day of life, which is given us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness, wherein there can be no labor performed. This is all the time we have. And none of us know how much that is, do we? We don't know how much time has been allotted to each one of us. But this is our time to prepare to meet God. And we need to be diligent in that endeavor. Number four, changing lanes. You know, basically there's a couple of different styles of changing lanes. One of them is somebody just pulls out in front of you, don't they? They don't signal. They move right in front of you, crowd in, cut you off. And then there's a little variance of this, is that they will signal first, but then they don't wait for an opening. They cut right in there, crowd in, cut you off. Or there's the other person. that signals, and they wait patiently for space to open up. And then when they have an opportunity, when they have that space open up, they pull over into that lane. Two completely different styles, aren't there? And if we do much driving on the freeway, we see these every day. We see these things every day. This first group, the ones that cut you off, they think more highly of themselves, don't they? Think more highly of themselves. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. We're to be a humble people. Not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. We are all servants of God. He has a work for each one of us to do. And we need to be diligent about doing that work. Whatever it might be. Not to be puffed up. And think of ourselves more highly than we ought. To love our brothers and sisters. To put them first in our lives. Before ourselves. That second group of people who signal and wait for an opening. They're preferring their brothers, aren't they? They're not saying that I'm more important. They're waiting, patiently waiting. Let's go over just a few verses to Romans 12, verses 9 and 10. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. And that dissimulation is without hypocrisy. Sincere. Cleave to that which is good. Always in our lives. In verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another. With brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Kindly affection one to another. With brotherly love. And that's important for us in this room. Our brothers and sisters. To have that love for them. But it applies to the people out in the world, too. It applies to our enemies. Those that despitefully use us. In honor, preferring one another. To put our brothers and sisters first. Before ourselves. We know that we must put God first in all things. But before ourselves, we need to put our brothers and sisters before us, preferring them. The fifth one. Here a while back, I was driving down the freeway, and I was in the middle lane. And as I was driving along, I could see I was coming up on a little Chevy Chevette, and I'm driving in the center lane, and I'm going just a little faster than it is. And then in the left-hand lane is a Lexus coming up on me, and it just worked out so that our speeds came together where we were all three lined up at the same time. And I looked over to the right at the little Chevy Chevette, and I looked over to the left at the Lexus. We were all three together there in this time, in this space. And I looked at the little Chevette, and old and beat up, paint faded, the dash cracked, crack in the windshield, wheel cover missing, kind of leaning a little bit to one side, kind of looked like it was on its last legs, this little car. And then I look over to the left at the Lexus. Brand new, shiny, black, top-of-the-line Lexus. And the guy was on his cell phone, just like you'd expect. Nice clothes. And here I am in the center with my 93 Toyota Camry with 180,000 miles on it. But all three of us came together for that short time. Those cars were about as wide a variety as you could get, weren't they? All the way from one end to the other end. So you got three people basically in the same time, the same space. So as you observe that, which ones of those people go to heaven? Someone who appears to be poor may not have been. Someone who appears to be rich may not have been. And me. Impossible to tell, isn't it? Impossible to tell. People observing that would have a perception, wouldn't they? They'd have a perception about those three people in those three vehicles. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." God's no respecter of persons. He didn't care what cars we were driving. It didn't make any difference at all. It was what was in our hearts, wasn't it? Those that were working righteousness. Those that live a righteous life. That's who was accepted by Christ. But it was impossible to tell by just that short observation. Let's turn over to 2 Nephi, chapter 11, verses 112 through 115. And this is on page 148. And he doth nothing save it be plain unto the children of men. And he inviteth them all to come unto him and partake of his goodness. And he denieth none that come unto him, black and white, bond and free, male and female. And he remembereth the heathen, and all are alike unto God, both Jew and Gentile. You know, the things that the world makes judgments of people and races and all types of things, don't they? God does not do that. He doesn't care about those things. He is looking simply for those humble people that are willing to serve Him and to follow after His commandments. The other things don't make any difference. The things that maybe man holds up as being important, they're of no value. Only what's in their hearts and what is their desires. And is their desire to serve Him and to follow after Him. That is what is important. The next one, number 6, is listening to music in the car. And you know, when you start out, you start the car and the volume may be pretty low. But you can hear the music just fine. And then, you pull out of the driveway and all of a sudden there begins to maybe be some more noise. There may be some people that are talking. It may be a little hot in the summer, so you turn the air conditioner on. You got the noise of traffic, and you go out on the freeway and you get up to speed of 65 miles an hour, and it's still not cool enough in there, so you turn the air conditioner on high, and you've kind of gradually turned the volume of the radio up, haven't you? And you're driving along. You may drive for a couple hours, and everything sounds fine, doesn't it? And then you come to a stop. Well, what happened to that volume? It's too loud. It's too loud. How did it get to be so loud? It's almost unbearable because you don't have all those other noises now. All those noises are gone, and you're listening to that, and you're thinking, how did it get to be so loud? But you gradually turned it up, and you didn't notice, did you? You didn't notice it was too loud until you stopped. The same thing can happen with things of this world. If we're not careful, they can slowly and gradually become part of our life. And we don't even notice. We don't notice. They slip in there slowly. It's like when you're at work and you first go to work and somebody's using profanity and it shocks you. It's appalling. But after you listen to it for 30 years, 365 days a year, you don't notice it so much, do you? Don't notice it so much. But that can apply to all kinds of things in our life. That's one of Satan's tools, is that he just slips these things in there very subtly, a little bit at a time. Gradually turn that volume up until it was too loud. Satan is trying to do that to us. every day. Let's look at 2 Nephi, chapter 11, verses 93 through 94. And this is on page 146. And there were also secret combinations, even as in the times of old, according to the combinations of the devil. For he is the founder of all these things, yea, the founder of murder and works of darkness. We have to realize that, that Satan is behind all of these things, all these works of darkness. We could list numerous ones. They're everywhere. And these secret combinations. Satan is behind those. Those things that are put there to deceive us and to lead us away. In verse 94, and he leadeth them by the neck with a flaxen cord until he bindeth them with his strong cords forever. That's what Satan is trying to do. And he doesn't start out with those strong cords. He doesn't do that because that would scare us away. It's gradual. These little flaxen cords. Gradually, slowly. If we're not careful, we're not aware of it. That these little cords are starting to be wrapped around us and leading us away. And then if we can't break those small little flaxen cords, he can trap us and bind us with those strong cords. And it says here, strong cords forever. That is his desire. To bind us with those strong cords and steal our souls away. But we need to be aware of that. We need to be aware that he's trying to do that. And we can break those cords by putting our faith and trust in God. As we read earlier, to watch and pray continually. Watch and pray for these things in our lives, because sometimes they will be subtle. Number 7. Driving in India. India was definitely one of the most interesting places I have ever been in my life. Very interesting, photogenic people. But driving down the freeways, I think in Nigeria, I mean, it was crazier there. I mean, just crazy driving. But in India, you'll be going down a freeway, and you know, a divided freeway, two lanes in each direction. I mean, you know, we have rules and stuff here, don't we? I mean, some of them you have to drive, 45 miles an hour at least, or you can't even be on there. But not there, because that's the main road going from point A to point B. And everybody has a right to be on it, everybody. So you will see the small trucks driving on there, the large, heavy loaded trucks probably don't have the best brakes driving on there. You see the cars on there. You see their little three-wheeled taxis that they're there by the millions, these little tiny taxis. And then you'll see a small cart pulled by a donkey or a small wagon pulled by a team of oxen. Or they had these large wagons that were pulled by a single camel, and it would have a bale of straw on there as tall as a church. But all of these things are going down this same road And it just seems like insanity, doesn't it? And but their people are, I mean, they've learned to drive in it, and they're just continually weaving in and out. Weaving in and out. Because somebody's ahead of you, they just take it in stride, and they just pull over in the other lane. And they whip back in the other lane. We have all of these people going down the road, all at a different speed. And you know, to see all this mix of people and all of these different carts and vehicles, it made me think of all the different people in the world. That mix of people, you know, all the different nationalities, all the different beliefs, all the people that are just coming and going in every nation. And we know that many of these people that are coming and going in these nations, we know that many are lost, don't we? But we also know that many are searching. Many are searching for something. They're searching for the truth. They're looking for something. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. The harvest is plenteous. There are many people out there that need to hear the gospel in these last days. Many that are searching, especially in places like Africa and India and the Philippines. We know we've had many people converted to the gospel in these nations. They're searching. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. We know the laborers are few. We know this is a small church with a big job to take this gospel to all the world. Verse 38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. That's going to be the focus of our sacrament service next Sunday. Praying for that, for the calling of ministry. Especially, specifically in this local. There's a big work to do in these last days. And I know that God has a plan. And I know that he knows how all these things are going to work out. And we don't have that understanding. And we're not going to. We're going to have just a little piece at a time. We're not going to be able to see that master plan. But he's going to reveal these things to us as we go along. But he does command us that we're to pray for these things. to pray for His guidance, to pray for His direction. And I ask that we be diligent in that. And praying for laborers. And praying for our own spiritual welfare. That we will be alert. That we will be watchful. That we will be aware of the time that we are in. And the temptations that are out there. That Satan is placing before us. That we might be diligent in preparing our lives to meet God. I hope today that I brought some things to our minds that we can think about. As we drive down that spiritual highway that leads to eternal life. Thank you.